This is Let's Talk Big with Jane Berger and Jen Hazel. The Owens Community College Campus Read is taking place now and throughout the semester with the goal of bringing awareness of different perspectives through books. The Campus Read book is the New York Times bestseller, True Biz by Sarah Novick. True Biz is a story of sign language and lip reading, cochlear implants and civil rights, isolation and injustice, first love and loss, and above all, great persistence, daring, and joy. Now, sharing passages, topics, and events related to the book is Owens Community College Director of Library Services, Jane Berger, and Professor of English, Jen Hazel.
I'm Jen Hazel, and I'm here with
Jane Berger
and
Haley Brothak Atkins.
We're going to get started. Jane, do you have a passage?
This is like one of my favorite questions that Jen asks me. Of course I have a passage. And since this is new in the academic year, we're starting at the very beginning. So this passage actually can be found on page 13 in our book, about halfway down. Isolation was a requirement of the implant, her doctor cautioned. She needed to be 100% dependent on it to learn how to listen. The device could only bring sound to her brain. It couldn't decipher it, or even do much to sift through what was important and what was just noise. Still, sign language had always been off the table. That would have been a cheat code, a crutch. If she had learned to sign and could communicate her needs and understand others, what would motivate her to learn English? So I really liked this one because it talks about our main character, Charlie, who is deaf, and her mom really wanted her to have a cochlear implant, thinking that this would be the best thing. And so she has this cochlear implant, and it just doesn't work as well as it could or as it should. And so she still doesn't hear well, but she doesn't sign either, and she is not encouraged to learn sign language because I think for her mom, that would mean that she was deaf, and people would know that. With the cochlear implant, nobody really needs to know. And I think Charlie feels that pressure from her mom. There's just some push and pull. But could you imagine, like, just put yourself in Charlie's place. I don't know. I thought, oh, like Charlie's mom, I thought, oh, a cochlear implant, what a great thing. It, you know, could help restore hearing. It could give you, if not, you know, perfect hearing, it's going to give you something. But maybe that's not the best thing. Maybe that's not what those who have hearing loss want to have. Does anybody ever ask them? In this particular case, no one seemed to ask Charlie. Now, her dad might have. He seems more in tune to what she wants, but her mom definitely seems to think that Charlie not hearing is like a black mark on the mom. She just doesn't want anybody in the community or anybody, you know, that she doesn't even know. People don't even matter to know that Charlie can't hear. How would that make you feel? For me, I think it would make me feel like I'm damaged, less than perfect. And she's not damaged. She can communicate. She just has to find the right way for her and not have her mom tell her this is the only way.
One of the things that this point always reminds me of is that it actually is similar in some ways to my son who has autism. He's a level 3. And if you know anything about autism, I guess they have a newer level that they're working on or thinking about, but it's really that he requires, the level just talks about the level of assistance you require. Fox requires a lot of assistance to help him. He's nonverbal. I feel like what this makes me think of is often, and I've heard other parents say this, is that they feel like somehow it's their fault. So I wonder if the mom feels like it's her fault that Charlie can't hear. Embarrassed isn't the right word, but I'm lacking for what the word would be here to talk about how, like, letting people know. It's almost like we can't let anyone know there's anything wrong or that we're not just as everyone else is. We're not, and I'm doing air quotes, normal, whatever that is. So
right.
I'm wondering if that is some that might be going on, and again, I'm only projecting from my experience here, I'm wondering if that might be some of it. And I think when you're young, it's not always knowing. Charlie can't hear, so she can't necessarily advocate for herself, and she doesn't know what else might be out there too.
Right.
At the point in which you are reading this. So let's say that.
Correct.
At the point in which you are reading this, she might not know.
Correct.
And one of the
Correct.
Things that we have learned through the workshopping and the book club that we've done so far is really hearing about, it seems that often what I remember individuals who have more experience with the deaf than we do, Jane and Haley, they've often talked about that focus often is to like fix instead of create necessarily like a community that individuals who are deaf like have with American Sign Language. And even our author, from the stuff that I've read that she has written, has talked a lot about feeling like, and she, her hearing was gone by the time she was 12. That, and that's when she first started to experience not being able to hear as well, that her community, she felt like community at that point when she entered and learned ASL. So I feel that, that there's a lot of those things happening, and instead of asking, instead of knowing, but even thinking what the doctor, like the doctors, you know, often what we heard, Jane, with some individuals talking about this was that they were pushing more of like an implant or aids or something instead of pushing another sense of a language.
Sure. And assuming that that would be the, again, air quotes for everyone, best way to communicate, because that's more like the mainstream American having some hearing, at least. Sign language, it just threw me too, and it says sign language is considered a crutch. Like, really? That floored me. A perception or an opinion. I don't view that as a crutch. I view that as a tool for communicating, for being able to speak with the rest of us. So I thought that was kind of an interesting twist that I had not considered. This book has really given me a lot to think. Just wait, stay tuned. It gets so much better.
Right. Haley, what are your thoughts?
Well, kind of what Jane was saying is that I don't get why it would be used, why sign language would be used as a crutch to being deaf. I feel if you have a medication that you need for like seizures or heart problems or whatever, you would use that, and that's not a crutch, you know? So why is, when you're deaf, using an aid a crutch? It's what you need.
I think one of the things that we will throughout this season explore in the podcast and actually learning and talking about too is going to be trying to understand why some things, and we know some of this from what we've learned, why some things seem to be like a crutch or like taboo and we don't talk about them, but other illnesses, it's okay. Like, we talk about people being diabetic and having to have insulin, and that's fine. But we even learned for a couple years ago when we read Stephanie Foo's What My Bones Know, that like the way in which people talked about mental health, that was like, in some ways it's taboo talking about, I take medicine. Now it's gotten so much better, but even thinking about when I would have been Charlie's age, like, we didn't talk about that. So I think it's just interesting, but I've got to wrap us up for today. But before I do, I want you to please keep in mind that next Wednesday, the 18th, is book club. And we will be meeting in the CTI, the Center for Teaching and Innovation, which is College Hall 117, at noon. And even if you haven't started reading the book yet, come anyway. Their discussions are very lively, very wonderful, and we're not to the point where we'll be giving that much away. The focus will be on pages 70 to 104 or 118, somewhere in there. Check the website for that. And afterwards, we have a very special project that we're doing. Haley, can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so we're doing basically a composite of people inside a box. Now, when I say box, I mean literally a box. You'll be inside something that's about as big as a bookshelf. You won't be cramped. So we're going to take pictures of you inside there and then compile them all together. So it looks like you're all next to each other and just get you reading the book and stuff like that. I'm going to use them as promotional items and try to promote the book and get you to read.
All right. Please remember to listen to Let's Talk Big Thursdays at 7 and 10 a.m. and 7 and 10 at night on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio. Or you can listen on the Outcome RSS feed. Visit owensoutcome.com for the link. That's Outcome with two M's. owensoutcome.com for Let's Talk Big. On behalf of myself, Jane, and Haley, let's keep talking big.
Catch Let's Talk Big on Outcast OCCR, Owens Community College Radio, every Thursday at 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 7 p.m., and 10 p.m., and at various times throughout the week. Or listen anytime on the Outcome RSS feed. Visit owensoutcome.com for the link. That's Outcome with two M's. owensoutcome.com for Let's Talk Big.